Ramsey TV.
Would you like a teaching on the sovereignty of God? Yeah, thought you might. I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you in addition to that. Or should I say simultaneously, I'm going to give you a teaching on the end times. That's right, the situation at the end of this eon with the sovereignty of God. Two for the price of one. You're only going to get this here at MZ TV. Welcome to MZ TV. I'm Martin Zender, your host, holding court from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, at the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula. I thank every one of you for being here. This is the highlight of my day. Many of you tell me it's the highlight of your day. We need to keep in touch with one another. We need this teaching. I need it. You need it. And by the grace of God, you provide it with your generosity, your support, your prayers, and I can't live without it. And I need to see you, and I'm going to see you on September 16th. I remind you, a conference in Omaha, Nebraska, actually 30 minutes south of Omaha, Nebraska, at a winery. Yeah, what do you think's going to happen there? Well, we're not going to be drinking Jack Daniels. We're going to be drinking wine. And reveling in the Word of God. Wes Fallenkamp's going to teach. Seth Fallenkamp, his son, is going to teach. I'm going to be there bringing seven or eight messages. We're going to have testimony from different people. A lot of people have already signed up. It's not too late. Get your tickets now, your airline tickets, that is, or drive. Just get in your car and drive. Why not? Road trip time. Go to my homepage, martinzender.com. At the top, highlighted in yellow, are all the details you will need for the Omaha conference, the contacts, hotels, even a schedule. I mean, these people are organized. I mean, they're so organized, I can hardly stand it, really. They're pushing me to do this, do that, do this, do that, do this. I've never been this forced to be organized in my life. It's a good thing, I think. So thank you, Will and Wes, for organizing this conference. Guaranteed to be satisfactory, or your money back. So let's go to Revelation chapter 17, the unveiling of Jesus Christ, chapter 17. But first, let me ask you this. How difficult is it for two world leaders to agree on anything? Right? Kind of rare. Now, how about three world leaders to completely agree on every policy? Four world leaders. Okay, now we're getting into crazy territory. How about 10? Revelation chapter 17, starting with verse 12. And the 10 horns which you perceived are 10 kings who obtained no kingdom as yet, but are obtaining authority as kings 1 hour with the wild beast. Verse 13, startling verse. Listen to this. These 10 kings have one opinion. One opinion. These 10 kings have one opinion. It's the same opinion. And they are giving their power and authority to the wild beast. The wild beast is the world system at the end of this eon. Now, you have to look carefully at context whenever wild beast occurs, because it could be talking about a person, or it could be talking about the system over which the person rules. Depends on the context. Here, what is it here? That's a good question. I believe it's the system. But then it's also speaking of the leader of the system, the Antichrist. He's the wild beast personified, but the wild beast as a system is the political situation, the political organization that will have power over the entire earth. No one will be able to buy or sell without the permission of the wild beast system. So the 10 horns are 10 kings. These have one opinion, and that opinion includes the giving of their power and authority to the wild beast. Verse 14, these will be battling. Now, we don't get any behind-the-scenes look at this point. There's no behind-the-scenes. It just says, Scripture says, that they have one opinion. Wow, that's amazing. I wonder how that happens. Well, we're going to find out how that happens a few verses later. So this would be the relative perspective. We're looking at the opinions of these 10 kings in relation, relative to other kings. And we see action on a stage of how they have one opinion. Wow, that's miraculous. Nobody knows how that happens. Well, we're only looking at the stage. We're looking at a knothole through the fence at the action. We're about to get a view above the stage. I'm going to tell you more about this tomorrow. I'm going to bring a startling passage to you from the Hebrew scriptures concerning the sovereignty of God. This is one of my favorite topics, and I know it's one of your favorite topics also. Without knowing the sovereignty of God, that God is operating all things, how do you have peace in this world? How? Even the bad things. So many people believe that God is only in charge of the good things. Well, in accord with Murphy's Law, which I spoke of yesterday, I believe it was, it could possibly be said that more bad things happen than good things. Let's say the proportion's 9 to 1, 9 bad things, 1 good thing. God is only in charge of 10% of things that happen? Impossible. God is God. He's the subjector. He's the placer. He is operating all things. So that has to include bad things. Yes, he is the God of everything and all events. And all things work together for good, not only for us, but for everyone. And these horrible situations that are coming upon the earth and that are on the earth even now must occur. These things must occur as part of the birth pangs that will bring forth the 1,000-year kingdom for Israel on this earth. Jesus compared it to birth pangs. That's a great analogy. I'm glad Jesus thought of that. I stole it. They have one opinion. They will be battling with the lambkin, and the lambkin will be conquering them, seeing that it is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with it are called and chosen and faithful. Verse 15, and he is saying to me, that is, the Lord is saying to John, these waters which you perceived, where the prostitute is sitting, are peoples and throngs and nations and languages. The prostitute is unfaithful Israel. Sorry for the redundancy there, unfaithful Israel. And the prostitute is actually riding the wild beast. Prostitute on top. Prostitute on top. Israel is giving herself to the wild beast system, buying in to the Goyim system. And this shocked John when he saw it. That's what Revelation is about. It's the amalgamation of illicit religion with illicit politics, forming a wild beast that will hold sway over the earth for a short period of time. Again, another contrast in order for God to wipe it out and bring in his religion and his politics. There's nothing wrong with religion and politics, ladies and gentlemen. It's bad religion and bad politics that we want to get rid of. Because Jesus Christ is a priest and a king. What is priest and king? Nothing but religion and politics. So it is God's religion and politics that are coming to this earth after he clears the table of man's religion and politics. Verse 16, and the 10 horns which you perceived and the wild beast, these will be hating the prostitute, and they will be making her desolate and naked, and they will be eating her flesh, and they will be burning her up with fire. But Martin, I thought you said that the prostitute was on top, performing illicit sexual acts upon the wild. Yes, but this turns. The nations, the beast system ends up turning on apostate Israel, turning on them, and threatening to destroy them from the face of the earth. It's a fake deal made by the kings of the earth with Israel to get her cooperation, her clout. They know that God is with her. It's God's people, even though they're a fake people. Still, the nation chosen by God. But just as the treaty that is made by the wild beast with Israel, by the man of lawlessness with Israel, to give them peace and safety and to let them offer their sacrifices, that treaty will be broken. And this is referring to that at that time, that the treaty is broken. midway point through the seven-year tribulation, that is when every nation turns against Israel. And the battle of Armageddon is staged. It's never fought, but it's staged. When all the nations gather for the battle that's never fought. How does all this happen? Verse 17, for God imparts to their hearts to form his opinion and to form one opinion. Wow, what did we just learn in verse 13? These, that is the 10 kings, have one opinion. How is that possible? And they're giving their power and authority to the wild beast. Why would they do that? Here's why. The absolute truth comes out in verse 17. We're not looking through the knothole in the fence anymore. We're looking over the fence. And this is what's happening. The backstory, the backstage view. For God imparts to their hearts. Imparts, active word. God imparts to their hearts to form his opinion and to form one opinion. This is God's opinion. But it's even more shocking than that. Because he causes them, forces them, by working his will upon their will, so much for free will, to give their kingdoms to the wild beast. So it's a bad thing that they're doing. It's an illicit thing. It's an unlawful thing. And God is inspiring it. Well, I told you he was God. He's doing it for a purpose. It's not a permanent situation. It's temporary. It's necessary for the carrying out of the final acts of this wicked eon, part of the birth pangs that will usher in the kingdom. The baby. The baby's born. 1,000 years of peace on the earth. But before the baby's born, a woman goes, ouchie. I've seen it happen. I didn't feel a thing, really, but I saw my wife feel a few things, and it's not pleasant. But as soon as that baby is born, all the pain is forgotten. Well, some of it, most of it. But God imparts to their hearts to form his opinion and to form one opinion and to give their kingdom to the wild beast until the words of God shall be accomplished. How are the words of God accomplished? How is prophecy carried out with assurance, with no chance at all that it won't be carried out? Is it God has to do it from start to finish? He doesn't leave it to chance. He doesn't sit back and say, oh, I hope these kings agree to give their kingdoms to the wild beast. What if 9 of them agree, but 1 of them doesn't? Oh, that would be a disaster. I need all 10 of them. I better pray to myself to make sure this happens. Absolutely ridiculous. No. He imparts to their hearts to form his opinion. Now, there's a verse in the Proverbs that says, the mind of man plans his way, but God directs his steps. And because of this, many people think that, okay, man is free to plan his way. Because it says the mind of man plans his way, God directs his steps. But no. You see, you have to imply human sovereignty into that verse, the mind of man plans his way. It's not God's intention in that verse to declare positively that God is in charge of even man's thoughts. Even his plans come from God. It's not his intention to say that in that verse. He's only going to emphasize, he only wants to emphasize the steps. Steps of a man are ordered by God. The mind of man plans its way, but steps are ordered by the Lord. Oh, that means that the mind, the ideas, the opinions that men have are their own. Nope, that's an assumption. This is a relative verse speaking only to emphasize the steps. But the plans are also completely of God. And here is proof. I'm going to give you more proof tomorrow, more evidence from the scriptures. But there it is. God imparts to their hearts to form his opinion. They're all thinking the same way he does. But do you think they realize that as they're walking this out? They're emailing each other, talking to each other on the phone, these kings. And they say, I just got an amazing idea. And the other king goes, really, what is it? Well, I think we should give our kingdom to the wild beast. I was just thinking the same thing. Well, call king number 3. Okay, let's see what he says. King number 3. Bring, bring. King number 3. I talked to king number 2, and we think that, and before he even finishes his sentence, king number 3 says, giving the kingdom to the wild beast? Yes! How did you know? I got the same thing. I just thought of it. I just thought of it a couple minutes ago. It's amazing. And on it goes. 10 kings, forming God's opinion. No clue. Why? These people that believe in free will, these ridiculous, short-sighted, ignorant, I was going to call them morons. I'm not going to do that, people. Thinking, just because they don't feel God's control, they're not aware of God's control. Therefore, they think God must not be in control. That's moronic. Here we're getting a backstage look at the fact that God is the one giving them their very thoughts. Same thing when Pharaoh refuses to let God's people go. God tells Moses before he even leaves for Egypt, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. Doesn't give that information to Pharaoh. So guess what happens when Moses gets to Egypt and says, let my people go? Pharaoh's heart is hard. Well, that's weird. And the scripture says Pharaoh hardened his heart. There is a verse that says Pharaoh hardened his heart. Many people jump on that, thinking it's an absolute truth, saying, look, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Or Pharaoh hardened his heart. I always point out to them, yeah, Pharaoh hardened his heart. But why did Pharaoh harden his heart? Well, Pharaoh was just stubborn. Pharaoh had bad night's sleep. Pharaoh ate a bad pizza. Pharaoh didn't get sex from Pharessa that night. That's why he got agitated. Well, that all might be true. But God caused all that to happen because God told Moses before he even went to Egypt, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. Moses, keep that truth in your back pocket. And when you go to Egypt, Pharaoh's going to harden his heart. But he hardened it relatively. Absolutely, it was God who did it. It depends on if you're looking through the knot hole of the fence or over the fence. Here on MZTV, it's one of the rare places you will be looking over the fence to see why things happen. And that it is God behind it all, operating everything in accord with his delight, in accord with the operation of his will.